I said that to see her reaction. And her reaction was, I think you dads understand that some, amen. But Lord's good. Lord's been good to me, good to my family, and I'm thankful. Whatever I am is of God, amen. Certainly not of me, but God's been good to me, and I'm thankful for his blessings and his goodness. Take your Bible this morning. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I feel a sermon coming on. All that turkey inside of me is just churning and got a sermon going. Amen. Just putting it out there. 2 Samuel chapter 23 in your Bibles this morning. And the passage we're going to read about David's mighty men. And David had some mighty men that were particularly strong and helpful to him and his kingdom. And I want to give some thoughts on the making of a mighty man. The making of a mighty man. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Begin with me, please, reading at verse number 8 in this passage. I'll read several verses, and then we'll pray and get into the message the Lord has for us today. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after that was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. He said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink. These things did these three mighty men. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for the Bible today. Thank you for the privilege to open it and to preach it, God. And we need your blessings. We need your help as we open your word this morning. God, it's your word, your mighty power. And I pray this morning that, Lord, that God, you would be heard, that we'd open our hearts, Lord, and hear that voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts this morning. Oh, God, I need your blessings and your power. And, Lord, we need to just ask you, God, this morning to meet with us in a wonderful way. I pray you take the burdens today and make them a little lighter in someone's life. I pray today that you take the troubles that go on that maybe nobody sees in life. And God, may thy word be that balm of Gilead to those troubles and those needs. And Lord, that one who's drifting from you and wandering away, oh God, I pray this morning that you'd meet with them in a great way today, Lord. And God, draw them back to you, Lord, as only you can do. And so, Lord, just meet with us in a wonderful way today, we pray, thanking you that we can be together under your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible is full of many characters in the Bible that are different. We all know Goliath. Goliath was one big bad dude. Amen. But David took a sling and a stone and let it go, and nothing ever entered his mind like that before, and knocked him down. But, you know, it's funny because, you know, well, Goliath had a brother, according to the Bible, and he had six toes and six fingers on each hand. That's an unusual thing. Well, there's some unusual people that we find in Scripture. Samson is another unusual creature and that God made. He was meant to judge Israel, and he tied, I believe it was 300 foxtails together and lit them off and lit them off into the country, and they burned down many of the fields. And Samson had an amazing strength in him. Many different and unusual people and characters in the Bible. And we come to three such unusual men called mighty men of David. David, of course, is the king, and under him are troops and many, many soldiers and many army men, as every king has. But he rises to the top, and he takes the cream of the crop, and he pulls them up here in this passage for our attention, so we can see what made these mighty men. What are these mighty men about? What is it about them that caused them to rise above and be the cream of the crop? What is it about these mighty men? I like some mighty men. I like strong men, don't you? I like tough football players, don't you? Man, they have watered down the game of football, you know? I mean, you can't hit anybody anymore. Why do we pay you millions of dollars? Amen? Even political correctness has drifted into football, of all things. And you can't do it. But I like the old guys like Ray Nitschke. And I saw a picture of Ray Nitschke one time. He got up after he made a tackle, and he is missing his front tooth. And he had a big old clump of hair, of grass, stuck in the side of his helmet, and he had blood dripping down of his face. Something about that I like. Amen? I just like those guys. Amen? I like those guys that get in there and sack the quarterback, and the quarterback's afraid of those guys. You know, mighty men. And I think in every sport we even see this, of how some people just kind of rise to the top and rise to the cream of the crop. And can I tell you that as a Christian, that ought to be our desire too, is to rise above everything in life and become a mighty man for God. Now, I don't mean mighty man only in the male gender, because there's a lot of mighty ladies for the Lord in the Bible too. I think of Hannah, who bore Samuel, and what a great priest of God he was in the Old Testament. I think of Sarah and her faith in God, and even Rahab in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Her faith is mentioned and admired because she overcame the evil, wrong lifestyle she was living to put her faith in God. And thank God for that. So I don't refer only to the male gender when I talk about the mighty men, because these are characteristics that all God's people should aspire to, that we should be striving for. Can I tell you something? In our Christian life, you're either going forwards or you're going backwards. You never are standing still in the same place. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. And the Christian life is about striving to be the best that we can be for God. Can I tell you and remind you that God gave His best for us? God gave His only begotten Son, that you and I could be saved He sent him down to this earth and lived a sinless, perfect 33 and a half years and died on an old rugged cross to pay for the sins of man. God gave his best to us. And from that spirit, we ought to give our best back to God in all that we have and that all we can do. God doesn't ask for halfway. He asks for all of our heart. He wants it all. He wants every room swept out of our heart and ready for the master to be used. And so these mighty men come and they rise to the surface, and David points them out. And, you know, whenever you see people in the scripture, you can see characteristics that they have that God used them. Oh, I don't know about you, but I want to be used by God. I want God to use me. I want his hand upon me. I want God to do something through my life. And this isn't just for preachers. This is for every one of God's people. We ought to have this desire in our heart that says, Lord, use me. Oh, God, don't leave me on the shelf. God, put me into action. God, I don't want to be a relic sitting in a museum. I want to be used. I want to be used. Oh, listen, that's what David saw in these mighty men. And these mighty men had characteristics that God could take and use. And I want you to see them this morning. I want you to see some things and ask God to help us be more like them. And I want you to notice, first of all, they had some unusual names. Verse 8. Notice verse 8. It says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite, which sat in the seat. His name was Adino the Eznite. Now, don't ask me any more about that one, amen, because I don't know all about who Adino was. But I know one thing, and I want you to see what he did, and that is he lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Now, think about that. He had to have a lot of strength. But what I see in Adino is that he stood, and you can just picture this guy with a spear, and boy, he's just stabbing one after the other. They're coming after him. Don't you think after about 50 or 60 people that he's starting to get weary? Don't you think that after about 40 or 50 people that he's starting to think, they just keep coming and are going to get me? Don't you think he could have given up hope? He could have said, I can't do this anymore. Can I tell you, all things are possible with God? You say, I can't do this. God wants me to do it, but I can't do it. Let me tell you something. If God told you to do it, he'll make a way for you to do it. God will not give you a command in his word that he does not give you also the ability to fulfill his command. And Adino the Eznite, he's got the charge of fighting off all these. And he slews. That's not a word. He slew 800 at one time. And in this, I see a man who has perseverance despite difficulty. Perseverance despite difficulty. Can I remind you that everybody's going to have some difficulty in life? That God never promised that the road of serving the Lord would be paved and easy. There's some rocks and some hard parts in it too. You can ask Job. You can ask the Apostle Paul. You can ask anyone you want in the scripture, and they'll tell you the same thing by their life. Serving the Lord wasn't always easy, but they persevered. And persevered and persevered. They just kept right on going. Christian, you're going to face troubles. You're going to face negative things in your life. You just got to keep on going. You got to keep on going. Keep on putting one foot in front of the other. Just keep on going. Amen. I love the story of the tortoise and the hare. The tortoise, you know how he won that race? That rabbit was faster than him. That rabbit was quicker, and he should have crossed the finish line a lot quicker than the tortoise. But he didn't persevere. He didn't stay at it. And that old tortoise just kept putting one foot down one after the other, and he won that victory. He won that race. I'm a grandfather. I know all these kids' stories. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you something in life? To be a mighty man for God, you've got to persevere when things don't always look good. When the sun is hidden in the clouds, when burdens arise and something unexpected that just breaks your heart, hey, I'll tell you something, just keep on hanging in there. I'm reminded of that cat that's got one claw on the tree and just hanging in there. And down the caption down at the bottom says, just hang in there. Sometimes all you got is one claw on the tree, but just keep hanging in there. Amen? Keep hanging in there. And by the way, joy comes when you hang in there. You know, we're reminded in Psalms that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? He's a mighty man because he perseveres. He perseveres. He just keeps hanging in there. Just keeps going. He just keeps staying at it. Just keeps staying at it. Just keeps serving the Lord. Just keeps being faithful. Good comes, he serves. Bad comes, he serves. Just keeping right in there. Now that's what makes a mighty man. A mighty man. We're not talking about wimps. We're talking about the cream of the crop. We're talking about men that did something and were used greatly. And David said, I can depend on you. I know you. David said, if I want a job done, I'm going to go to old Adino because I know he'll stick with it. He'll stick with the job. He'll just stay after it. Keep on plodding. Keep on battling. Keep on working. Keep steady at it and just stay at it. Hey, I want to tell you something. God blesses that. God blesses that. And that's not weak Christianity. You know, most Christians, wow, as soon as I have a sermon called Carburetor Christians. And one of my points is whenever they get a little dirty on them, they spit and sputter. You're supposed to laugh right there, but amen. I'll come back at you later. Try it again. Amen. But sometimes we spit and sputter. We get a little dirt on us. Where is our Christianity? Where is the men of God in the Bible who faced challenges and burdens and were imprisoned for their faith and beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and all these things happened to them? Man, if that were to happen in modern day Christianity, we'd fail and falter and quit and give up. But a mighty man says, I'm just going to keep at it. I'm just going to stay with it. Hey, if you found something good, just stay with it. Stay with what's right. That's not a wimpy man. That's a mighty man. Old Dino's fighting the enemy off. He's getting weary. Maybe somebody else needs to come in and take my place. No, I'm a mighty man. I'm going to do what God wants from me. This is my post. This is my place. I'm just going to keep on getting them. You think you got weary? Think you got tired? You think sometimes he didn't feel like quitting? Hear me. Hear me today. That's a mighty man. But just keep sticking with it. Amen. Conversely, I've seen many Christians sometimes have a little trouble in their life and they leave church and get away from God. And boy, the devil sows seeds in their life. And it's so sad. It's so sad. Hey, listen, the key to life is to just keep serving the Lord no matter what your circumstances are. Just keep standing for the Lord. That's the lesson that Adino, I believe, teaches us. He stood. He had a cause. He said, you're not going to come through here and get my king. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up for my king. Boy, we need that again in our day and age. Amen. We need it. There's a second man I want you to notice. I want you to notice a fellow named Eleazar in verse 8. Verse 9. Look at verse 9. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Hoite. one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose. You notice that? The other men were gone away, but he arose. And this man is a man that stands against the current. He stands against the current. When everybody left him, what does he do? He arises. He arises. And it says, verse 10, he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. When everyone else left God, they just continued right on serving the Lord. Is that Miss Lou back there? I thank the Lord for the Stallmans in this church. Every church has its ups and downs. And there's been some days since this church has started 50 some years ago that have been really low. And Brother Miss Stallman, or stuck right with it, kept this church going. Thank God for him. Amen. You know, sometimes that happens, but a mighty man just says, I'm going to stand. I think I'll just stand right there. Amen. I believe Stallmans will have some rewards in heaven just for that faithfulness. Just for that faithfulness. Amen. I believe she'll have some rewards in heaven for making those jalapeno things too. Yeah. Amen. Woo, those are good. But old Eleazar, he also got weary, didn't he? He also had times when he probably didn't know if he could make it, but what did he do? His hand clave the sword. He said, I'm not giving up on it. I'm going to just keep on. And you know, I think that's what separates mighty men from the crowd, is just staying with it. Just keeping your hand on that sword. Just keeping your hand on the plow. Just staying with it. And when things don't look good, I don't care. I'm going to just stay with it. Stay on it. Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. God calls those people mighty men. Mighty men. I think God, boy, if you look at men in the history of our country, man, there's some mighty men in our country. George Washington, I believe, was a mighty man. In the French-Indian War, there was a battle where there were snipers that were particularly ordered to focus only on George Washington. And it was their job in that particular battle to shoot and kill George Washington. And they did. They said, we shot him several times. When George Washington got back home, he had 17 holes in his coat from gunshots. But he lived and he made it. And he just kept on going back into battle and back into battle and back into battle. You know, you'd think George Washington would quit if he saw he had that close call on his life, but he didn't. He didn't. We don't know the battles that Abraham Lincoln went through to keep this country together, united. We don't know. We don't know the battles that they went through. And I've read some of the defeats and the depression and some of the things that Abraham Lincoln's family went through. And he lost, I think, at least one of his children when he was in the White House. And his wife had mental breakdowns and difficulties. And dark times, but he just believed in sticking with something. You know, that's the difference. That's what makes mighty men. And Adino the Eznite, he just said, I'm going to keep my sword in my hand. I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm just going to keep on standing for the Lord. And if the world doesn't like it, I can't change that, but I'm going to stand for the Lord. I'm just going to keep that sword in my hand. Hey, by the way, this is our sword as a Christian. This is our spiritual sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hang on to that thing. Don't let it go. When you're weary and tired and you don't know what to do, hang on to it. Grab on to that old book and don't let it go. it in your heart. Cleave to it. It's your answer. By the way, it'll make a mighty man out of you. A mighty man. You know, our world just needs people that'll just stay with it. Stay on the right side. Don't float with the world. You know, the only kind of fish that goes downstream is a dead fish that floats dead downstream. It takes a live fish to go against the current. That's what Adino was. That's what Eleazar was. They said, we're going to stand. I like the third man. I like Shammah. Verse 11 tells us what Shammah did. You know, Shammah, verse 11 says, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agee, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together in a troop. Now notice there's a whole bunch of them, right? Where was a piece of ground full of lentils. Those are beans. Man, he wanted his beans and cornbread. Amen? He said, you Philistines, you ain't getting my beans and cornbread. Amen? You ain't getting it. I'm keeping my beans. Well, praise God. Amen? You say, well, what's important about beans? What's important is that they were his. Amen? They were his. And the Bible says here, and the people, last part of verse 11, and the people fled from the Philistines. Oh, they all got scared. There's a troop coming. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. By the way, did you see that? When you stand for the Lord comes beside you. And causes great victory to happen. See, that's the three Hebrew children experienced that. They threw him in the fire. But there was a fourth man of the fire with them in there. He went with them. And he never forsook them. And you see, when we stand for God, God does the same thing. He comes beside us and says, I'll make a great victory through this. Oh, I love victory. I love to see people's lives and they get victory in their life. They serve the Lord. I love people's lives who, man, you just wouldn't think that they would make it and serve the Lord, but they do. What a joy. What a blessing. That's a joy. Old Shammah was the kind, he says, these are my beans. God gave them to me, and I'm going to stand for God, and I'm going to defend him. And everybody else fled. Everybody else fled. You know, the ways of truth and right today are are becoming compromised. Many are fleeing a stand on truth and right. Many are drifting into a comfortable type of Christianity that knows no sacrifice, no difficulty, no faithfulness. It just blends in with all the others. It becomes that dead Christianity that the world looks at and says, there's nothing there. But God's teaching us to be a mighty man. Stand. Hey, I want to tell you something. Stand for something. Stand for something. Stand on the word. Stand for what's right. Dads, stand for what's right in your home. Be a mighty man in your home. Moms, stand for what's right and true in your home. Those kids are your little beans. Amen. Those are your little beans. Amen. And keep them going in the Lord. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't slow down. You say, I get tired sometimes. Well, we do, you know. God, that's what heaven's for. Heaven's about rest. This earth is about toil, sweat, work, staying at it. But heaven is all about rest. So what are you going to do when you get to heaven? I'm going fishing on my back porch in the river of life. I'm going to catch golden trout for about 100,000 years. Amen? I'm just going to reel them in one after the other. Amen? Hey, it's heaven, so I'm not going to clean them either. Amen? I'm not cleaning them. But heaven's about rest. But you know what this life's about? It's about being faithful to our Lord. Staying at it. Staying at the work. There are still many people that need to get saved. There are still saved people that are drifting away from the Lord. There are still family members that don't know the Lord. There are still neighbors that don't know the Lord. We got to just keep hanging on there. Let's be the mighty men God wants us to be. Victory. The Apostle Paul went through disease, poor eyesight. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was stoned and shipwrecked 3 times. But he got to the end of his life and he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Oh, may that be said of us. Let victory be ours on the very last day of our life. Let's be victorious. You know, victories can be there for all of us. There's a fourth one here I want you to see. This is the last one I want you to notice. Look at verse number 15. It says, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. This is a picture of salvation. Who was it that was born in Bethlehem? It was our Savior. He was born in Bethlehem. David said, I want a drink of that water, which is by the gate. And verse 16 says, and these three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines. They drew water out of that well of Bethlehem and took it and brought it to David. You see, these men had to go face Philistines to get that. But all three of them, they worked together and they got the job done. You know, I think that's what a church is. It's church when three people or many people, God said, we're just two or three are gathered together, am I? But it's when God's people work together as mighty men to accomplish God's work. God does it. God does it. Oh, a relentless heart to please the king is what I see. These three men had a relentless heart. If the king wants something, you know what? We're going to go to great lengths to get it. David, you want a cup of water? Is that all you want? Why can't you get a cup of water here? I almost brought my cup and dipped it in the baptistry this morning. Got a cup of water. Why don't you get a cup of water from the stream that's here? No, David said, I want the one in Bethlehem. All right, then we're going to go get you one. See, this is a relentless pursuit to please the king. A relentless pursuit to please the king. They wouldn't quit. They said, we're going to go get him water. It's just a cup of water. They didn't think it was an insignificant thing if the king wanted it. Just a cup of water. Oh, he can go get a cup of water anywhere. Uh-uh. Their heart was on the king. And if the king wanted it, you know, I'm going to tell you something. There's some things in the Bible that God asks us to do that may seem insignificant. But if we follow it, it shows a relentless desire to please the king. Oh, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my life just pleasing myself. I'll please the king. I want his well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to just live for me. And by the way, the person who lives just for self is the most unhappy person in the world. God said, let's rise above. Let's be mighty men. Let's be mighty men for God. You say, I don't feel very mighty. If you follow these characteristics, God makes mighty men out of people. These three are actually four rose above the surface because they had these characteristics of relentlessly pursuing God. Oh, I want to tell you, there's a pursuit to win souls and reach people for Christ. It'll never end because the world will still always be lost. There's always somebody out there that's lost and needs to be saved. And we must continue a relentless heart to please the king. Because there's nothing that pleases the king like making the sacrifice of his son not be in vain. Nothing pleases the king like that. Oh, Fred, I want to tell you today, mighty men are still alive in this world today. Mighty men are still possible. Mighty men are still available. We can still be that mighty man, that mighty woman who by faith perseveres, stays with it. When you're weary, just keep your hand on that sword and just keep standing in there until the day God calls you home. When that day comes, we can rest, but until then, let's just stay faithful to the Lord. And God would call that kind of person a mighty man, a mighty man.